want you to turn with me to Mark's Gospel, the fourth chapter. Mark chapter 4, the Lord Jesus begins this chapter teaching on the sower. And it's all about sowing the Word of God and receiving the Word of God, acting on the Word of God. He goes down through the verses. He begins to explain the parable in beginning in verse 14. And he told us up there in verse 11 that this is a part of the mystery of the kingdom of God. What's a mystery if you're out there not knowing what he's talking about? But whenever you begin to get the Holy Spirit teaching you, it ceases to be a mystery and becomes a revelation. Amen? And so he's trying to bring it forth to the disciples and the people here so that they can understand how the kingdom of God actually operates. And he really puts a great emphasis on hearing the word, receiving the word, and being a doer of the word. He says, only those who hear, receive, and do will produce any fruit in their life. A lot of people hear it, but they don't receive it. Some more people hear it and receive it, but they never act upon it. But you've got to not only hear the word, you've got to accept it, and then you've got to act upon it and trust God to make it happen in your life. Amen? And so he went on and he said in the same fourth chapter, he said, if you have ears here, let him hear. Well, you know, everybody says, well, I've got an ear. Well, he's not talking about that thing sticking out on the side of your head. He's talking about you listening, hearing on the inside, having an attention that's upon him and setting yourself to hear. And then he says, with what measure or emphasis or value you put on the word is how it's going to work in your life. Amen? And so we should put much value upon God's word. It should be the first and foremost thing in our life. Amen? And so after teaching us all of this, the importance of the word and walking in the word, he says in verse 26, and he said, the kingdom of God is as. In other words, he's going to give you a parable, and he's going to show us a natural thing that will reveal to us the strength of the kingdom of God and how the kingdom of God, his realm, his rule in the spiritual realm operates. So he says, the kingdom of God is if a man should scatter or sow a seed on the ground, and he should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, and after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle for the harvest, because the harvest has come. Now, notice here, he's teaching us that the kingdom of God in the spiritual realm would operate a lot like the kingdom on the earth. In other words, sowing and reaping on the earth. And so he tells us here that the kingdom of God will operate for you and it'll produce for you if you learn how to operate it. Amen? See, once you get born again, it is just absolutely important for you to get in the Word of God and find out how to operate in the things as a Christian. Amen. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean all this is going to happen. Notice that he said the kingdom of God is if a man should go out and sow his seed on the ground. Well, you know, a lot of people, they're trying to believe God for something, but they've never put any seed in the ground. That'd be crazy, wouldn't it? I mean, you go out in your backyard and you come back in stomping your feet and say, there are no tomatoes at all in my backyard. I cannot believe it. I went out there to reap tomatoes and I don't have any tomatoes in my backyard. And somebody says, well, wonder what the problem is. Well, I don't know. Well, where'd you plant your tomato seed? Well, I didn't plant any. Well, that might be the reason you don't have any tomatoes in your backyard. Amen? There wasn't anything there for your backyard to produce for you. And so we need to learn some principles of the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is alive and active. That's what the Lord is saying to us. It's not some religious concept. It's not some place off out, you know, whatever. The kingdom of God is right here on this earth in operation for us right now. And he's saying just like natural things in your life will work for you if you put the principles to operate in your life, so will the kingdom of God. Spiritual things will operate for you. Amen? And so we need to learn how to operate the things of the kingdom of God. Now, I want to give you three quick steps on how you can release the power of God's kingdom to produce a harvest in your life. Anybody want to learn how to do this? Three very simple steps that will help you to get what God said you can get. Amen. Well, somebody says, well, what is it? If they're so simple, well, it's so simple, you probably look at me and say, oh, my God, I came out here for this. Well, you know. Praise the Lord. If that's your attitude, you're not putting much hearing on it, so it won't do you any good anyway. No. What's the first step? Notice that he's talking about reaping a harvest there in verse 20. He said, when the harvest comes in, immediately puts in the sickle because it's come. He's ready to reap it. Amen? So the first thing you've got to do if you're going to activate the kingdom of God and receive a harvest from God is this. You need to determine your harvest. Amen. Somebody's looking at us, is that it? Yeah, first step. You've had to determine your harvest. He's talking about a farmer going out planting his seed. And you know, a farmer has to determine what kind of harvest he wants before he plants a seed. Amen. I mean, you know, if he's wanting to raise fields of corn, he's not going to go out here and plant cucumber seeds. He's going to plant what he's, in other words, he's going to determine his harvest before he ever does anything. A lot of us, the reason we're being defeated in life is we just go to God and say, okay, Lord, I'm just believing you. And God says, believe in me for what? Well, for whatever. Hallelujah. And you see, that doesn't work in the kingdom of God. You have to begin to lock in on what you're believing for. And you have to get specific with it. And you have to decide, what am I wanting from God? I mean, what do I need from God? So somebody says, well, how can I tell if it's God's will for me to have a certain harvest? Well, you've got to, first of all, understand this. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, he says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Notice here that he says faith is given to you to give substance or bring to pass or bring into this realm the things you're hoping for. Now, how do you get faith? Well, Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So if you get faith by hearing the word of God, guess what you're going to get hope for? You're going to get hope by hearing the word of God, aren't you? Amen. In other words, Psalm 119 verse 130 says the entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. You know what he's saying there? When you allow God's word to enter into your life, it brings the light of his will into your life. Amen. You'll never know the will of God until you know the word of God. Come on, somebody, give me a good amen. What are you talking about? You have to let the word enter into your life. Why? Because until the word comes in, you're walking in darkness. And when you're walking in darkness, you cannot hope for something that you can't see. Amen. In other words, if I want to have a harvest of healing, guess what I need to do? I need to get into the Word of God and find out what God says about healing and let that Word enter into me and bring the light of the revelation of healing into my life. And then I begin to hope for healing. Amen? In other words, healing is my harvest. And so therefore, I begin to let God bring the seed of His Word into my life. And the first thing you know, I begin to have this hope. I begin to see myself healed. Praise God. Hope here in the Bible, in the Greek, it just simply means joyful, confident expectation. Praise God. See, a lot of people think they're in hope, but they're not in hope. They're in wishing. Amen. I'm just a hoping and a praying. No, you're not. You're just a wishing that something would happen. No, hope is a spiritual, living, alive force that is built upon the Word of God. Hope is what God says. Hope is your goal. Hope is the harvest that you're wanting to receive from God. Amen. Notice that there are principles and there are processes to get from seed to harvest. Did you notice that Jesus in Mark chapter 4 didn't start off with harvest? He started off with seed. Amen. So what's that mean? You, a lot of times, you know, a lot of people come to church and they just say, pray for me so I can receive, you know, this breakthrough, this miracle, this whatever. Well, wait a minute. Are you really hoping for that? I mean, is it a real, joyful, confident expectation? Are you really expecting God to do something for you? Do you really believe that God will make that thing come to pass in your life? Because you see, that's true hope. True hope is whenever it's so real to you, you can't feel it yet. You can't see it yet, but God's word says it, and I believe God's going to make that happen in my life. And because you believe it's going to happen, you're willing to do the next step, and that is what? That is to act upon your faith. Amen? In other words, because I have hope and I see the harvest and it's a reality in my life and I've got the word of God in my heart and that word tells me it's God's will to do this, now I've got something to work for, praise God. See, a lot of people are trying to have faith without hope. You can't have faith where there's no hope because it's faith that gives substance to the things you're hoping for. In other words, there ought to be a reason you're doing what you're doing. Why are you praying? Well, I'm just praying. Well, you know, praying and worshiping God is good, but just praying is not going to get you a harvest. Or have you found that out already? Well, I've been a praying. Okay, what are you believing God for? I'm believing God to work for me. Okay. It's kind of like the fellow that came up and said, it was standing in the line. He went to the minister and he said, what are you believing for? He says, I'm believing God to prosper me. He reached in, pulled out a dollar and said, got your faith working. Praise God. Go on back, sit down. Well, you couldn't say he was a dollar more prosperous than he was when he came up there. And he looked at him and said, no, wait a minute, that's not what I meant. He said, then you better start talking about what you mean then. Amen. In other words, you better lock in on God and find out what God says about it and begin to make that what you're striving for. Make that what you're looking at. In other words, this is my harvest. I'm believing God. If it's finances, then you got to get into the Word of God and let the entrance of God's Word come in and build your hope. I don't have to stay broke anymore. I don't have to stay where I'm just barely getting along anymore. And you begin to build that hope, that expectation in your heart that God is going to prosper you and God wants you to be successful and God wants you to be victorious. Even John, writing in 3 John verse 2, tells us the very same thing. He says, beloved, he said, I pray that you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Amen? In other words, he says, if you don't get your mind renewed, you're not going to prosper and be successful and live in victory because you don't know what God's harvest is. You don't have any hope. Most Christians today, we're trying to have faith, but we don't even know what we're having faith for. What's your harvest? What is it you're wanting to reap from God? What is it you're believing God to do for you? What is it that the Word says you can have, and you've made it so real in your life that even though you don't have it right now, you're now activating your faith going toward that? Because Jesus says that if you really believe that you're going to get a harvest, you are going to act in faith and sow your seed. Somebody says, what's my seed? Your seed is your action of faith. Are you listening to me? In other words, my action of faith, my confession, my believing, my changing my attitude. See, that's all seed. In other words, you have to begin to sow yourself into what you're believing God to do for you. Amen? Notice that this the kingdom of God is not as if somebody went out and said, would you go plant some seed, and would you go cultivate the seed, and would you go reap it when it comes in and bring it to me so I can have a harvest? Notice Jesus didn't teach the kingdom works like that. He said, if you want to harvest, the first thing you need to do is this. You need to discover and get a revelation of what your harvest is that you're believing God for and get that as a hope in your life and begin to expect it to come to pass in your life. And then you need to give yourself to making that come to pass in your life. Do what it takes to get that harvest in your life. Well, I just don't have any joy. Well, then joy should be the harvest or the hope that you're believing God for, and you should get in the Word and find you scriptures that promise you joy and meditate on that joy and those scriptures until you get a picture seeing yourself with a smiley face instead of that frown all the time. And then what you do is this, once you see yourself happy and not sad, you see yourself victorious and not defeated, you see yourself as an overcomer and not a loser, then all of a sudden you begin to put action toward that. How many of you know that what you really expect to get is how you're going to act, dress, talk, and live? If your harvest is failure, you're going to dress failure, you're going to talk failure, you're going to have an attitude of failure. Say amen or oh me, but it's so, isn't it? Sure. The moment you lose your hope, you don't have any faith for anything, do you? You don't have a reason to get up. You don't have a reason to clean up. You don't have a reason to dress up. You don't have any reason to try to do anything. I'll probably just fail anyway. Well, that's the harvest that you see in your life. So what I do to change that form of harvest, I have to let the entrance of God's Word come into me and get that darkness out of me and bring the light of God's blessing into me. Amen? But then just seeing the harvest and having hope isn't enough. Faith has to give substance to that harvest. Amen? In other words, I've got to act to get what I'm hoping for. And so what am I going to do? I'm going to act on the Word. James 2:20 says that faith without works is dead. Amen. In that same chapter, James talked about, you know, you say you have faith, without works, I'll show you my works. Amen. I'll show you I have faith. In other words, and then he goes down and starts listing how Abraham did certain things to demonstrate his faith and how certain ones used their faith and how they operate. And God saw their actions. Because see, this is the thing. If my harvest is to be healed, then I'm not going to sit around planning on dying. I don't care how I feel. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what everybody says. If my harvest is healing, then I'm going to start getting myself ready to live. Praise God. I'm going to put some action to my faith. If I believe God, you know, I've been there before. Anybody ever been there before where you felt so bad, you just wanted to lay in bed, and you'd been there, and you hadn't had a bath, and you'd had a little fever and everything else? Man, you stink, you smell bad, and you feel bad, and you just want to lay there and feel sorry for yourself. Have you ever noticed that, you know what, if you get up and go take a shower and start cleaning yourself up, it just a natural thing helps you to start kicking off all that junk? Why? Because Jesus is saying just like natural things work for you in a certain way in this world, he says spiritual things. In other words, I can lay there and feel sorry for myself, or I can start praying in the Spirit, and I can start speaking my faith and start acting like I'm going to get something good from God. Amen? So the Lord says the first thing you've got to do is you've got to determine your harvest. You've got to name before God and discover from God what he wants to do. Then number two, you have to activate your faith. You've got to get involved. Now, there are two basically main ways or two principles of releasing your faith and activating your faith. In Mark 11:22, when Jesus responded to the Apostle Peter about the fig tree that he'd cursed and had dried, he said, "Have faith in God." I like the Amplified. It says, have faith in God constantly. In other words, you ought not have faith in God just when you need it. You ought to have faith in God all the time. Amen? Live in faith. Walk in faith. Praise God. And then he said, for surely I say unto you that whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he is saying or says will be done, he will have whatever he says. The first way that you release your faith is by believing in your heart and saying with your mouth what God says. Notice Jesus said that you say this not because you have it, you say this because you believe it. Oh, come on, grab a hold of this. Well, I ain't going to say anything I don't have, then you'll never have it. And Jesus didn't say it because it feels like it, or you have it, or you can see it. He said, say it because you believe it. And what you're doing is you're releasing your faith in God to do it for you, because this is the kingdom of God working for you. So if I want the kingdom of God to work for me, I've got to get the king of the kingdom working for me, don't I? So I've got to bring God into this situation. How am I going to bring God into this situation? I'm going to begin to say what God says. Hallelujah. And you know what you have to do? You're sitting there. Maybe you're fighting off sickness. Maybe you're fighting off oppression. Maybe you're fighting off some hurt. Maybe you're fighting off some kind of insecurity. Maybe it's a need in your life. Maybe you got some bills stacked up, pressure all around, and the enemy's closed in, and you just feel like quitting. But you begin to get in the Word, and you begin to study the Word and hear the Word, and all of a sudden that Word enters in, and where there was darkness, now there's light. And where you had confusion, now there's understanding. You begin to see, God, you want me to come out of this. My harvest is coming out of this thing, praise God. My harvest is victory. My harvest is being an overcomer in this whole thing. And so God says, okay, now that you see what your harvest is, start doing what it takes to get the harvest. Amen? And that means you have to begin to sow your seed. Your seed is your action of faith, praise God. Are you hearing me? See, a lot of times people take seed and they think it's money. Jesus has not talked about money in any scripture in that whole fourth chapter. He has talked about the Word, acting on the Word, hearing the Word, believing the Word, doing the Word. Amen? And so your seed or action of faith is your seed. Amen? In other words, God is wanting to see what you're going to sow into this situation. Are you going to sow complaining? Are you going to sow doubt? Are you going to sow aggravation? Are you going to sow flesh? Are you going to act on the Word, have faith in God? And whether you feel like it or not, you're going to say, you know what? I'm not going to say this because I feel like it. I'm not going to say this because it looks like I'm going to get it. I'm not going to say this because of everything everybody else. I'm going to say it because Jesus said it, and I believe it. And Lord, I'm speaking this out because you said to do it. And notice Jesus didn't say, for whoever shall say unto this mountain, you are certainly a large mountain. Oh, what a big mountain I have. Oh, my God, I need to get on, social media and let everybody see what a big mountain I've got. Oh, God, help me. No, he didn't say talk about the mountain, did he? You can't bring in your harvest talking about your problem. That'd be like the farmer going out there going, oh, my God, look at that field. That is the biggest field I ever saw in my life. Lord have mercy, I'll never get that thing planted. God help me. He ain't going to help you until you get out there and start planting your seed. Hallelujah. You've got to make your mind up that God is bigger than your problem. And because you believe and have faith in God, the first way you're going to activate your faith is you're going to begin to speak to that thing. In other words, I'm going to start talking my harvest. Are you hearing me? I'm going to start talking my breakthrough. I'm going to start talking about God changing my situation. I'm going to start talking and saying that, God, I believe you to bring this to pass in my life. Just like you said in your word, I believe you're going to do it for me. Amen? So the first way that I release my faith, activate my faith, and sow my faith is by believing and saying it. And saying it because I believe it, not because I have it yet. I don't have it. But God said I can. Just like the sower, when he planted his seed in the ground, he didn't have a harvest. He had a seed in the ground. Amen? See, a lot of us are trying to skip 1 and 2 to get to 3. But you can't skip step 1. You have to know what the harvest is you're believing God for. Number 2, you have to learn, know what it takes to get the harvest to start working for you. Amen? Second way you release your faith is found in Mark 11:24. Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. The second way is to pray. You pray, but you don't pray the problem. You pray the answer. Amen? See, a lot of times the reason our prayer isn't working is we're just telling God what the problem is. How many of you know God already knows what the problem is? He's not there for you to tell him about the problem. He knew there was going to be a problem before you knew you had a problem. Amen? But he also had a way for you to get out of that problem, and that's what he's wanting you to do. Actually, the King James reads it like this: whatever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive your desires, and you shall have them. Amen? So in other words, what am I going to do? If I'm going to release my faith through prayer, I'm going to pray for God to release to me the harvest that I'm believing for. Amen? So what I'm going to do, I'm going to activate my faith. I'm going to believe God, and I'm going to speak my faith. I'm going to pray my faith, and I'm going to believe the Lord's going to turn my situation around for me. Because I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God, I'm going to operate in the kingdom, I'm going to release the principles of the kingdom to work for me. Amen? Hallelujah. How many times have we done the opposite and then wondered why God didn't work for us? Well, would your boss pay you if you went out and did exactly opposite of what he told you to do? You might get fired. Amen? And here we are standing against God, talking against God, acting against God, and we can't figure out why God doesn't give us a harvest. That's because God doesn't change. And if there's a change that has to be taking place, it has to be on my part. Amen? Not his. In other words, if what I'm doing isn't working, then I need to quit doing what I'm doing and do what he says to do. And work with him. Now, the third thing is this. The first step, of course, is determine your harvest. Second one is activate your faith to get that harvest started. And then the third step is simply this. Stay patient and persistent. Stay patient and persistent. Notice here that he talks about here in Mark chapter 4 through 29, verses 27 through 29. He says, you should sleep by night and get up by day. In other words, you go to bed, get up, go to bed, get up, go to bed, get up. And he said, he says, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. Notice that the earth yields crops by itself. First the blade. In other words, it doesn't just all happen at once, does it? You see that? See, this is the thing, folks. We think if we pray and 5 seconds later we don't see an instant manifestation, God didn't hear us. But the principles of the kingdom of God is usually a process. The norm with God is you determine what your harvest is, then you get the word in your life and you begin to hope for that thing, then you use your faith and activate your faith and begin to do what God tells you to do and act on the word, and then you get patient before God. And patience doesn't mean sitting around twiddling your thumbs. Patience means you stay consistent with God. It means you don't stop confessing the word. You just keep confessing the word, but you're not confessing it, wringing your hands and, you know, wondering if God's... No, no. You confess the word and thank God that he's working in your behalf. Because what? We walk by faith and not by sight. And now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So therefore, even though I don't see it, I believe God's doing it for me. Amen? What kind of farmer would it be if he planted his seed and had his huge field out here with all of his seed and he's told everybody, you know, I planted this crop and I'm going to get this crop, and he goes out a couple of days later and he doesn't see anything coming up and he just gets in his car and drives off and says, forget it. Well, he gave up on his crop too quick, didn't he? What if he goes out there after a few weeks and he only sees a little bit of stem sticking about 4 or 5 inches up out of the ground? He goes, dear God. That's kind of like us. I've confessed that 10,000 times and I just feel a little better. Well, you ought to rejoice. You feel a little better. Amen. At least you got a blade out of the ground. Praise God. You're going toward your harvest. You're heading toward your crop. Praise God. It's working, but you have to stay consistent. You have to stay persistent. You have to stay patient. You know, James said when you find yourself in that test and that trial, he says, let your patience have its perfect work. You know what he's talking about there? He's saying just lock in. And say, God, I'm not going to get anxious. I'm not going to worry about this thing. I'm not going to fret. I'm going to cast those cares on you, and I'm going to hold fast to what you told me to do because my faith is in you. Because, see, the reason you acted in faith in the first place is because you were doing what Jesus said in Mark 11:22, have faith in God. If you didn't have faith in God, you shouldn't have started this thing. You know what faith in God is? You trust him. In other words, the reason you stepped out and started believing him was because you trust him to bring it to pass in your life. Amen? And this is the thing. Just because it doesn't just happen immediately, why should you stop trusting God that he's doing it for you? Amen? Especially when you know what he says in his word and you know that faith operates in the unseen realm. Amen. Even Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:7, says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. You know what that means? That means that, praise God, just like that farmer, he goes out and looks at that field, and somebody comes along, they say, what are you looking at? He goes, man, I'm looking at the greatest crop of tomatoes you ever saw in your life. I'm going to break the market. Hallelujah. And the guy looks at him kind of crazy, and says, ain't nothing but dirt out there, man. He says, no, you don't see him. He said, I got bushels and bushels and bushels and bushels of tomatoes. Hallelujah. My God, we're going to take Heinz and make him a number one company. Hallelujah. And the guy looks at him and thinks he's nuts. But you know what? He don't care. And he goes out the next day and somebody comes by and he's standing there, you know, and he's piddling around and he's, you know, he's hands up and, you know, just celebrating. And somebody says, why don't you stand out here celebrating? He says, look at that field. The guy looks out and he sees dirt. He says, okay, what am I looking at? Bushels and bushels and bushels and bushels of tomatoes. My God, I'm breaking the market this year. Look at them. He goes, you're nuts. No, I'm not. I'm in faith. I planted my seed. I did what God told me to do. And I know what he said he would do. God said if I would believe him and hold fast with him and stay steady with him, just go to bed praising him, get up in the morning praising him, keep my eyes on the harvest, God would bring the harvest. Notice he said, for the earth yields fruit of itself. And now let's bring it to the Spirit. For the kingdom of God yields the harvest by itself. In other words, once you've sowed your seed and you've gotten in faith with God, it's in God's hands now. Amen. And have you ever noticed that certain crops take longer to harvest and ripen than others? See, not every crop ripens at the same pace. Because it takes longer. It's a different fruit. It's a different vegetable. It's a different seed. And so, you know, for some crops, they have to have a certain amount of time. Others have less time. Some have more time. And you know, what you're believing God for sometimes takes a little longer than what you would hope it would, but you've got to let it work itself out. See, most of us are like the man laying by the pool when Jesus showed up, and he'd been laying there 30 plus years, and he said, won't you get up? And he said, nobody will help me in the pool, and somebody beats me in every time the water stirs. He said, well, just take your bed and go home. And the man, the reason he laid there all this time, he was waiting on somebody else to help him get it. When Jesus said, quit putting your future in somebody else's hands and just hook up with me and take charge yourself. He saw his harvest. His harvest was he wanted to be healed. But he didn't know how to activate his faith till Jesus showed him. But then you know what he had to do? He had to activate that faith. Well, thank God for that. But you know, why should we sit around for years and years and years and years and years waiting on somebody else to do something for us? And if your harvest is out there, then start doing what it takes to get it, praise God. And stand strong. Well, how am I going to do that? From the moment I begin to believe God, I'm going to stay faithful, patient, and persistent until I get it. Amen? Because in the end, it's going to be worth it. I don't know about you, but I grew up in the country. And in my younger days, my grandparents lived up so far from us, actually from about here to the back door. And so there was a field about the size of one of these things here, and then a field on up above it. And it was much bigger. And they planted stuff. And I have to be real flat honest with you, I hated it. Because they'd have to get out there and till that ground. And then they would go out and they would stake out where they was going to put the corn and where they was going to put the green beans and where they was going to put this and put that. And then they'd plow the rows. And then you had to come along and plant a certain way. And you know what? That wasn't so bad. It wasn't my favorite. But I knew who was going to have to be out there with a hoe. Digging the weeds out of it. And helping it. It was me. I mean, I was the oldest grandson. And so therefore, you know, and to this day, my hand doesn't fit a hoe at all. I mean, it's just, praise God. A shovel or, you know, I grew out of it. Thank God. Amen. My hands don't fit those things anymore. Somebody says, don't you grow a garden? Yeah, Kroger, Food Lion, you know, praise God. Hallelujah. Organic. Hallelujah. No, thank God. But you know what? This was the thing. From the time we planted until we started reaping, now I enjoyed it when they started coming ripe. Because every Monday, my great aunt, two of them, would come around to my grandmother's house. And there would be my great grandmother, my grandmother, and two of my great aunts, they're her sisters, and my mom. And me and my sister and one other cousin, and they would always fix a big country meal for lunch. And I had no problem at all running out to the garden for them. Hallelujah. I enjoyed the harvest. Now, getting to that harvest wasn't a whole lot of fun, but boy, when I tell you what, that harvest came in, I sure enjoyed those country meals when they showed up. But you know what? I was just a kid and didn't realize what was going on. But my grandparents, they saw that day when we were out there tilling the ground. They saw those potatoes coming. They saw that corn. They saw those green beans. They saw all these things that were going to be in those fields. And that's why they planted the seed. Then that's why they got out there and took care of it. Why? Because they'd go to sleep and get up, and watch. Because they were getting that to be brought in. And that's the same way Jesus says the kingdom of God works. And we have to operate that way. And if you don't get your healing the first time you pray, just thank God and pray again. Keep your eyes on your harvest. Amen. And rejoice in the day that you get to eat your healing. Hallelujah. Well, the bills still aren't paid, but God said He'd supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So you've acted on that, and you're speaking that, and you're praying and thanking Him for that. And yeah, there's still bills, and yes, there's still pressures. That's why you have to be patient and persistent, and you just have to learn to go to sleep and dress in the Lord and get up the next day and praise Him that He's working in your behalf. Because there's going to come a day where it's going to come in, and the bill's going to get paid, and you're going to rejoice. And people say, boy, that was a miracle. But you know, back when you first planted your seed and saw the harvest, that's when it started for you. Bonnie and I had believed God for certain things when it came to finance and stuff, and we would confess. One time, we confessed for 2.5 years that we were believing God. We were believing God. We were believing God. And we would speak it, and we would pray, and we would agree, and we would keep speaking it, and we would pray, and we'd speak it, and we'd pray, and we'd thank God for it. Why? Because we saw this great thing coming in. And then, praise God, boom, one day, we get it done. Somebody comes by and helps us, and all of a sudden, finances are in our hand. We go, woo, glory to God. What'd you do after that? I reaped it. Hallelujah. I put it exactly where we was claiming it and took care of it. Praise God. The harvest came in. We rejoiced. Well, how am I going to stay patient and persistent, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. Look over in Romans, the 4th chapter, real quick. Romans chapter 4. See, the Bible teaches us in Hebrews 6:12 that we're to follow those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Notice it isn't just faith that gets the promise. It's faith and patience who inherits the promise. If you went on down in that same chapter, down around verse 16, 17, thereabouts, you would find out that he said Abraham, after he had patiently endured, obtained the promise. He's talking about Abraham. And so he says we're to follow the examples of those who through faith and patience, persistence, those who enter into rest and just trust God no matter what it looks like. God, I know what the harvest is, and I'm going to keep speaking my faith, and I'm going to do it because I believe. Amen? Now look what he says in Romans 4, Abraham did. Here's what you follow if you want to walk in victory. Begin in verse 17. He says, as it is written. In other words, everything Abraham does is based on God's word. Not on feelings, not on what he can see, not on time. Are you hearing me? Not on what everybody else thinks. He's basing everything he does from verse 17 on based upon what is written in the Word of God. He found what God said. He's acting upon what God said. Amen. The entrance of God's Word gives light. In other words, it brings us to the place where we can know what God wants to do for us. Look what he says. He says, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed God, who gives life to the dead. Look at that. And calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Notice that. He said God spoke to him and Abraham believed God. And he said, the reason I believe God is this. You can take something that's dead and give it life. You can take something that's impossible and make it a miracle. You can take something that looks like it'll never happen and make it happen. Hallelujah. God turns hopeless situations around. Amen? And Abraham believed that God would do that for him. Now look what he does because he believes, not because he has. You got to understand something. Abraham was in his 70s when God began to speak this to him. He was 100 when he got it. Would you be willing to trust God for 25 years to get your harvest? Why did it take so long? Because Abraham's harvest was not just he was going to have a kid. Abraham's harvest was he was going to be a father of many nations, and therefore it was a greater harvest and a greater seed, and it took longer for it to produce. Hallelujah. Every seed doesn't produce the same pace as every other seed. If you've got a $10,000 need, and that's your harvest, and you believe in God for it, how many of you know it might take you a little bit longer to get that one than somebody needs $50. Are you listening to me? It's both money, but one's a whole lot more. So sometimes, depending on the harvest, it depends on how much time it's going to take. Now, God can move in any way, but what am I going to do until I get that finance? I'm going to go to bed and get up, act like God's in charge. Act like God's bringing it to pass. Why? Because I've already done what I'm supposed to do. I've acted in faith and released my faith and trusted God. Now I'm obeying Him. What if I need a healing from an incurable disease? What am I going to do? Well, I'm going to have to hear from God just like that woman with the issue of blood did. And then I'm going to have to start speaking my faith. And He can go against it, what everybody else says I can do and what I can have, even against the doctor's report if I have to. And I'm going to have to believe God until I can get to where Jesus can bring my harvest of healing and miracle to me. Amen? And it might not happen the first night. It might happen the second night. But it's going to happen because God said so. Amen? Now let's read on. Look what he did. who contrary or against hope, in hope he believed. In other words, when there was nothing to hope for, he stirred himself up and hoped anyway. And the word hope here, again, is joyful, confident expectation. When he had nothing to be hopeful for, he stayed joyful. He stayed confident. He kept his expectations in God and stayed in hope. Amen? So that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. What did he do? How did Abraham get to the place where he had hope? How did he keep his hope? He just stayed on the word. What are you going to do tomorrow when the enemy comes in and tells you that what you set yourself to believe God for tonight ain't going to happen and tries to discourage you? Well, if you're going on feelings, you're going to quit. And if you're going on what it looks like, you're going to quit. And if you're going to go on what somebody, your friend's going to come and tell you, say, you're crazy, I don't know why you're doing that, you're going to quit. But you know what you got to do? You got to base your hope on the promise of God's word. Because God's word is forever settled in heaven, and God will always make his word work for you if you'll stay with it. Amen? What value are you putting on the word of God? Do you value God's word above somebody's opinion? Well, I'm preaching better than you're shouting again. Amen. See, I have to value God's word more than I do your opinion, your friendship, or what things are going on, or what some expert told me. Amen? I put God's word first. Abraham put God's word first. So shall your seed be. Then he goes on, he says, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now, he says he was not weak in faith, and the reason he wasn't weak in faith is because he refused to let the circumstances determine his attitude. All right? What's that mean? I'm not going to lay here and fret all night long because it hadn't happened yet. I'm not going to worry myself silly because I haven't seen a result yet. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. I've committed myself to it. I'm acting upon this. And God, I thank you. I'm doing what you told me to do. And I'm staying in faith. I'm staying patient. I'm trusting you. Amen? Now, what is weak? You want to know what weak is? Turn it around. Just take the word not out of this verse and read it like this. And being weak in faith, he did consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. In other words, just take the not out and you find out that he's in weak. In other words, if I'm considering, how am I going to do this? It looks worse. Oh, I feel worse. Oh, it's gotten worse. I owe more today than I did yesterday. Oh, my God. You know what you are? You're operating in weak faith now because you're concentrating on the problem, not on what God said. So what do you do, Pastor, when you're in this? I cast down vain imaginations. I get control of myself. And I remind myself of what God said I could have. And I begin to speak the word. Because I didn't start this thing till I had a word to start with. Amen? Abraham didn't start this thing until he had a promise to start with. So I want to ask you something. What's your starting promise? You're trying to get a harvest, but you haven't gotten a seed to start with yet. The seed's the word. Abraham started every bit of this with a promise. What's your promise that you're standing on? Because you see, there's going to come some symptoms, some tests, some trials, some other things, and they're going to come along. And if you don't have that promise right there where you can show the devil, I'm not coming off of God's promise. My hope isn't built upon on my goodness or my ability or my strength. My hope is built upon what God said. And when the devil tries to come and show you it's not working and show you that other people didn't get it either and show you that, you know, this isn't going to happen, instead of being weak and looking at all that, you just go right back to your promise. So what promise are you standing on, and what promise did you start with for your harvest? Because if you don't have a promise, you're probably not going to get a harvest. Okay? Because the harvest is from the promise. It's God who makes alive. It's God who quickens. It's God who turns it around, and God works through his word. Isn't that right? See? So I've got to get God's promise. I took Deuteronomy 8:18. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he who gives thee the power to get wealth, even as he swore to thy father, so it is this day. And I got to meditating on that, and I said, Lord, I thank you that you give me the power to get wealth so you can establish your covenant with me. And just like you spoke to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, and all of them, you're speaking it to me, and thank you for giving me the power. And I have used that scripture more than one time to get a harvest, to pay debt, so that we could walk in victory. Somebody says, that's Old Testament. I don't care if it's Old Testament, New Testament, or Middle Testament. I tell everybody, you know, I do it to every Bible I get. Praise God. Amen. Holy Bible, very first page. Holy Bible, presented to, and I put my name right there. Praise God. That means everything from that page to the last page presented to me. Amen. God didn't want it presented to me. They shouldn't have never put presented to. Hallelujah. Amen. So how did Abraham stay strong in faith? He stayed strong on the promise of God. He had a promise. When he looked in the mirror, he didn't see an aged man. He saw a promise. When he looked at his wife, and she has never been able to have a baby, he didn't see a woman that was barren, couldn't bear children. He saw a promise. When everybody else was doing something and he wasn't enjoying it himself, he kept seeing his promise. He stayed with his promise. He kept his promise. Now look what else he does. He did not waver at the promise. Look at that. That promise is right there entwined in everything he's doing. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. You know what he was doing? He was thanking God that he was going to get a harvest. Lord, thank you for my child. Thank you for the promise. Thank you, Lord God, this promise is working for me. Thank you, God, for making this thing come to pass. Hallelujah. Amen. See, folks, when you don't have the thing, you have to stand on the promise. If I don't have the money in my hand, I got to stand and praise God for the promise. When the money comes, I'll praise God for the money. But until the money comes into my hand, I praise God for the promise the money's coming. Amen. If I've dealt with anxiety and insecurities and stuff and they're still attacking me, I don't praise God because I feel good. I'm praising God because I got a promise that he delivers me from all these things. And I praise God. Abraham is praising God for the promise because he still doesn't have what God said he would have. The harvest is still in operation. So he's praising God, acting on the promise. And now look what he says. And being fully convinced that what God had promised, he was able to perform. Why do you praise God and stay consistent, persistent, and stay patient? Because you finally get fully convinced and fully persuaded in your own heart that God said it, God will do it. And this is where you have to get honest with yourself. Are you fully convinced that God can turn your life around? Are you fully convinced that God can change your situation and give you a harvest of blessing? Are you fully convinced that God can meet that need? Are you fully convinced that God will do for you what he said he would do in his word? Because Abraham was fully convinced that God would do what he said he would do. Amen? I want to tell you something, church. This month, I will finish out 41 years of pastoral ministry. I started pastoring in August of 1978. 41 years later. Amen. So I'm concluding 41 years of doing this. And you know what I've been preaching for 41 years? The thing I'm preaching to you right now. And you know what I've seen for 41 years? Every person that would hear this word, receive this word, and act upon it just like Abraham did, I've watched their life change and turn around. But I've watched people that didn't pay any attention to it, didn't hear it, didn't give value to it, and then try it for a while, and the enemy come in and defeat them. You can't try this. Abraham stayed faithful to it. And I've stayed faithful to it. And I'm here to tell you as a living witness, praise God, it works. Amen. I could share some things with you right now that would just, you couldn't believe. But I don't care if you believe it or not. I live it. Hallelujah. I've watched it happen. It went from believing to heaven, praise God. How did you do that? Well, I got a promise because that promise entered in and I saw my harvest and I saw what God could do. And then I began to praise God and act upon that promise because that was my action of faith. And then you know what I began to do? I began to wean myself off of looking at all the problems. I put spiritual blinders on. How many of you know the problem's always there? Actually, I'll be real honest with you. I started this even back before I even knew it was real scriptural. Hallelujah. I took a youth group one time to a youth meeting conference over the weekend. And we went down on Thursday, was there all day Friday and all day Saturday. And I'll be honest with you, it was the absolute worst youth conference I'd ever been in my life. It ranks number one. It's got a trophy, and it'll never be defeated. I mean, it was the most worthless weekend trip that you could ever. The meetings were terrible. They were corny. My youth were so aggravated. We took about 18, 20 kids there, high school, junior high. And I'm going to tell you what, they were miserable and they were complaining. And finally, on Saturday afternoon, I pulled them all together and I said, listen, guys, it's easy to see the bad. And they looked at me and said, yeah, but it's terrible. I said, yes, it's terrible. I'm not going to debate you on that one. But we can have a great time if instead of looking at all the bad and all the silly stuff, there's going to be some good things said and some good things. And we can have fun with ourselves and we can make this a good trip. So let's start concentrating on the good stuff and don't let the bad things dominate what we're doing. Well, we agree, and they all agreed. And so we started having little meetings together. We started doing stuff. And after a meeting, we would turn something that was done that was really awful into something fun and make it our own self. And so when we got done, we get back on Sunday evening, back to the church. And I went to the pastor, and he said, how was it? And I said, it was awful. I said, it was a terrible week, but it was a great weekend. He goes, how was the terrible and great one? I said, well, instead of letting all the terrible dominate us and determine how we were going to have the weekend, we decided we were going to have fun and make the best of it and find good things. And I said, here's what you're going to hear from each one of these teenagers. He said, what? I said, when you ask them how it was, they're going to say, it was awful, but it was great. And they're not going to be able to tell you anything bad because we concentrated on some good things and kept our focus on good things so that we could get something out of this weekend. And you know, to the kid, every one of them looked at him and said, it was awful. He said, what was awful? Well, I don't know. It was just awful. But we did this, this, and this was good. And everybody came back with a good report. You know, it's a choice that you have to make with the kingdom of God. The kingdom of darkness is out here, folks. Problems are real. Needs are real. The devil's real. Struggles are real. Feelings are real. Come on, we're not denying all that. We're just deciding who we're going to hook up with. What's our focus going to be on? My focus is going to be on receiving what God said I could have. And God has set the entire kingdom in motion to help me to have what He said I can have. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to follow those who through faith and patience endure and get the promise. And one of them I'm going to follow is Abraham. And I'm going to get me a promise. Because when I don't have anything else, I'll still have His promise. And I'm going to believe God can make that promise work in my life. And I'm going to be so convinced with it that I'm going to praise Him for it. And instead of running around looking to see if it's happening yet, I'm going to just stop looking at my symptoms and start looking at the promise and praise God for the promise. And I'm going to strengthen myself. You know how I'm going to strengthen myself? Instead of sitting around wondering if it's working, I'm going to thank God and give Him glory that it is working. And I'm going to get myself to the place where I'm so fully convinced that God can do it, that I'm all in. I'm going to get so convinced that God can do it that when it manifests, you're going to have to tell me to quit praising God. It's going to happen because the harvest is in the backyard. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? We should get so caught up in praising God and speaking the word that somebody has come up and said, it's here. You don't have to do that now. Praise God. Are you listening to me? And we just go out and enjoy the harvest. Now, what's God saying? First of all, what's your harvest? Determine your harvest. What do you believe in God to do for you? Number two, what's the promise that you're going to act upon? What promise? What's your seed? that you're going to stand on, you're going to sow into this thing, that you're going to activate to get that harvest to come into your life. And then number three, are you going to stay patient and persistent and say, I don't care how long it takes, I don't care what it looks like, I'm going to praise God and I'm going to get what God said I can have. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to enjoy the trip. Amen. Listen to me. Abraham gave glory to God. You know what that means? Abraham enjoyed this, the whole thing. He didn't just rejoice when he got his son. He rejoiced with the promise. A lot of Christians don't have any fun until they get healed. They don't have any fun until they get somebody hands them some money. They don't have any fun until they get an answer to a prayer. Everything up to that point is, oh God, help me God, please God, help me God. Okay? But you know what God's wanting to do? He's saying, listen, enjoy getting the hope. See yourself with that harvest. Then get your promise and rejoice in the promise. And when you get the promise, be just as excited about the promise as if you were excited about receiving the fullness of that promise. And then every day when you're believing me, just rejoice in the promise. Just get up and say, glory to God. I feel terrible, but I'm going to have a great day today. Hallelujah. Pain still hit me, but thank God I'm getting my harvest of healing. Hallelujah. Glory to God, I don't have any food in the house, but praise God, 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 we're going to eat good today. Hallelujah, on the word. You say, you didn't do that. Yes, I did. I'll give you one last little testimony of us. Bonnie and I we had just gotten married, moved to East Tennessee State, living in student housing. I'm playing football, so I could go to the training table, but she couldn't eat there. And so we had to come up with groceries. And so, you know, it came down to Friday, and I did sneak some stuff out of the athletic training table and brought it home so we could have something to eat that evening. And stuff, that was Thursday. Well, Friday, you know, we came in and we were out of food, no money. And so we're sitting there in our little apartment. And she said, what are we going to do? I said, well, what do we have? Well, we had 4 slices of bread, 2 slices of bologna, and a little bit of mayonnaise in a jar. That's what we had in our house, in our apartment. And no real opportunities looking at us until possibly Monday. And this is Friday afternoon, Friday evening, about 4 o'clock. So she said, what are we going to do? I said, well, we can either fuss and go hungry, or we can... praise God, need a bologna sandwich. Hallelujah. And so we fixed it up, put it on slide. We sat there. We fixed it, got a glass of water, thanked God for it, praised the Lord, and ate our sandwich. Amen. Just sat there and thank God. Didn't know where we was going to have, but ain't no use fussing about it because we're going to praise God. We believe God. We prayed over it, thanked God for it, rejoiced over it. Amen. About an hour later, we hear a knock on the door. And we look over, and her 3 sisters surprised us and came down to see us. And every one of them had a bag of groceries in their hands. And they came walking in. I went, glory to God, hallelujah. And they brought it in, and they got to fixing stuff, and they ate. And then, you know, we let them eat and stuff. And 2 of them, actually 4 of them, all 4 sisters came. 2 of them decided they wanted to go out. They weren't living for the Lord. And so the other 2, her twin and the baby sister, stayed there with us. Not only did we get to eat because we had a good attitude, we praised God, we worshiped God, and thanked Him, He supplied of our need. Not only did we get to eat a good meal, have food in our cabinet, I led both of those sisters to the Lord that night. Amen. And we celebrated that weekend with plenty of food, plenty of fun, and 2 sisters praising God with us that Jesus is Lord. Since then, all of them have gotten saved. Hallelujah. And praising God. So you see, you can let the world determine your harvest and you can be defeated. Or you can let God determine your harvest and have fun getting it. Amen? Amen. We should be enjoying the battle just as much as we enjoy the victory. Amen. The children of Israel went out into battle, and you know what they were doing? The Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. They were singing, shouting, and praising God, and God set ambushments against the enemy, and they got the victory. That was their harvest. They had a word from God. They acted on that word, went out praising God, and God gave them the victory. What's the victory that you're believing God for? These are the steps that you can take to get it in your life. Amen?